to be with you this evening. And let us read the scripture from John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for this question that you raised. We need to be reminded every time with question whether or not we believe, whether or not we trust in you or we trust in ourselves, whether or not we follow you or we follow our fears or our desires, our own desires and our own strength and abilities. Thank you for reminding us that you are true power and strength. And let us remember that he is risen not only on the resurrection Sunday, but every day. And let us live according to this fact and lead our families and be your representative in this world to proclaim the empty tomb and the risen Messiah, risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Easter morning declares a fact that tomb is empty. Easter evening presses a question. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for me? So you know the context, I'm pretty sure. Somebody said, it stinketh, but it was not a problem for the Lord. He did what he wanted to do, and he came and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 11, Jesus speaks this word not at the empty tomb of his own resurrection, but at the grave of Lazarus. Death is still present. Grief is real. Tears are falling. And into that moment, Jesus does not merely offer comfort for them. He grieves, but he gives a revelation of himself. I am the resurrection and the life. Not I will give you resurrection, not I will show the way, but I am. Everything rests here. Salvation is not ultimately found in an event, a system, or even a doctrine, but in a person of God incarnate. So Christ himself is our resurrection. Just doesn't say resurrection is coming one day, someday. No, that is true. He says, I am the resurrection. This means resurrection is not future. It is present in Jesus, is present in Christ. It also means that eternal life is not just a promise. It is a union with him, union with Christ. And that is the central to Reformed theology. Union with Christ. John Calvin wrote, as long as Christ remains outside of us, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value for us. In other words, it is not enough that Christ rose from the dead. We must be united with him, united to him by faith. If you are in Christ, his death is your death, death to sin. His resurrection is your new life. This is why Paul says in Colossians 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ. Not you will be raised someday, but already spiritually you have been brought into new life. So Jesus continues in this passage. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And it's not theoretical. It speaks directly onto reality of death. And the early reformers understood this very deep, not in comfort, but in suffering. Consider Martin Luther during the Black Death in Europe, and this particularly in Wittenberg. As plague swept through Wittenberg, many people fled, many ministers fled, many churches closed down, but Luther stayed. He stayed behind to minister the sick and dying. When they asked him, why? Probably, what is wrong with you? He said, in essence, because Christ has conquered death, the Christian is freed from fear. Not reckless, but anchored. Luther did not deny the reality of death. He buried his friends. He faced danger, but he believed this promise. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is the difference the resurrection makes. Death is no longer condemnation. It's no longer the final word. It becomes a passage into new life with Christ. Because it is grounded not in human courage, but in God's sovereign promise that those whom God has chosen, Christ has redeemed. And not even death can separate them from him. As Romans 8:38 and 39 said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Shall never die. And this gives us deeper reality. Jesus goes even further. He said, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. At first this sounds contradictory, but all Christians are supposed to die. Christians do die physically. So what does he mean? He's speaking of ultimate death, which is eternal separation from God. So for the believers, physical death is real, but spiritual death is forever defeated. This truth sustained the church across the centuries. There's a story of Polycarp, an early Christian martyr. When he was threatened with death unless he denied Christ, he responded, probably a lot of people in this room know this, his response, 86 years I have served him and he has never done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? Polycarp understood something profound. The one who believes that Christ never truly, the one who believes in Christ never truly dies. His body could be burned. Buried, but his life in Christ could not be touched. Or remember the Scottish Covenanters during times of persecutions. Many went to their deaths singing psalms. Why? Because they believed that this promise, literally, shall never die. Not because death would not come, but because death had lost its power. And now we come to the question that cannot be avoided. Jesus ends with question. Believest thou these? Do you believe these? Not do you understand this? Not do you agree with this? It doesn't matter. But do you believe these? This is where Reformed theology is both deeply doctrinal and deeply personal. Faith itself is a gift from God. As Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God." But it is real. Living trust in a real Savior. You cannot borrow this faith from your family, from your church, or your tradition. You must personally be united with Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism asks, "What is true faith?" And answers, "A sure knowledge and a wholehearted trust that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God." So the question remains tonight, believest thou these? Do you believe this? For those who do believe, this passage is not a warning. It is a deep comfort. Because your hope does not rest on the strength of your faith or in the consistency of your obedience or the depth of your feelings. It rests in Christ Himself. And He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." This is why church throughout history has been able to stand at graves, not in despair, but in hope. Not in a shallow optimism, but a settled confidence. Christ has defeated death. 17 years ago today, I did a funeral for my grandmother, who actually never stepped in the church for most of her years, because she was partially immobilized for many years, suffering with physical difficulties. But she was a true believer. And when I did the funeral, I remembered one time that we had this wonderful conversation with her. And I said, "You know what, Grandma? I'm probably not going to cry at your funeral, because I know the place you are at. And it's a happy place. You will have no tears." She said, "Please cry. Please cry. Could you promise me that you will cry?" I said, "Yes, okay, I can promise you that." And when I did the funeral, I did cry, but it was tears of hope and joy, because I know that she's in a better place. And 17 years ago today, it was mixed feelings for me, sadness and hope, and just realization that He is with us. He is right there in any hour of greatness and hour of miserable, when we have miserable time, He is with us. And not because of us, but because of Him, what He has done for His church and for everyone who believes. And because we are in Him, we live now spiritually, and we will live forever physically as well, and we will never be separated from Him. So Easter evening brings us to this moment. The risen Christ stands before us, not physically as with Martha and Mary, but truly through His world. It's His word. And He says the same thing to us. "I am the resurrection and the life." And He asks the same question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you do, your past is forgiven. Your present is secure. Your future is eternal. If you don't, the invitation still stands. The Savior is still offered. Life is still found in Him. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are resurrection, the resurrection and the life. We thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy, that you are the resurrection and the life in our life, and we can understand it personally and be part of it. We praise you that in you death is defeated and eternal life is secured. Grant us true faith to trust in you alone and give us confidence in life and in death. Give us strength to stand in this hope until the day we see you face to face. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in your holy name. Amen.